Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspance radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, Jack, this is the President Sleepy Joe Biden, and you're listening to my favorite podcast in the world. Hey, fam.
Happy 36 degree. Hey, fam, everybody.
And tomorrow it's going to be like 16.
Well, we're both going to Melbourne. And it's,
do you go tomorrow?
I go on Thursday, yeah, morning. Sure. But it's like, so it's 36 degrees here. It's less than half of that.
It's like 17 or something, isn't it?
I think it's like 16.
Dude, the other day we went from 16 to 38 in one day.
Yeah.
It like more than doubled. And it's not even fucking summer yet. it's detestable.
It's October now.
It is. OVO.
Pinching a punch. Pinching a punch for the first of the month.
Drake month. It's not the first. It's the third.
Fuck, I guess.
OVO. Yeah, this is Drake month. Levins and I are going to Melbourne for
Drake month.
We are... We are ambassadors for the For All the Dogs Listening Party. For Drax.
Well, beg PAX for Drake.
Yeah, yeah, we're going down for Drake.
I don't know what does PAX even stand for?
Pussy ass gamers. It's Penny Arcade, isn't it?
Oh, right. But what was it? X. Penny Arcade. X rated.
Penny Arcade, like.
Xylophones.
Yeah. It's like Latin.
Exhibition.
Latino. You know, oh, it's no, Latin.
I think pretty sure it's Expo.
Or something?
Expo. Penny Arcade
it's
Expo.
Penny Arcade Inks.
So Drake Arcade Expo.
Yeah, we're going out for Drax, you, me.
Yeah.
Yeah, why can't we think of his name? Fucking massive dude.
The guy, Dave Bautista.
Yeah, Bautista. Yeah, you, me.
I'm glad we were both in the same wavelength. For a minute, I was like, fuck. Yeah.
No, we can't remember big wrestlers. The only one, like, my brain in this heat has capacity for one, and it's Hulk Hogan.
I walked here from the station, which is not that far, but, like, it's fucking scorching.
I drove to the mall. Like, I had to pick up some stuff and just stayed, like, 2 minutes in the car before the aircon kicks in.
Oh, brutal. And it's
and
all
I got, like,
hot
a
air.
Black car, yeah. And I'm just like, this is fucked. And it was like, it was so torturous. And then, yeah, but I kind of felt like I was in Saw. I felt like I was doing one of, yeah, like, you have to atone for your selfishness by sitting in this hot car for 2 minutes.
I just DJ'd from like 12 till 2.
Boy, are your arms tired.
And I'm wearing a Godzilla t-shirt.
Yeah, you are.
And the big fat print on the front of it.
Like,
and it's, you know, when it's on a hot day when that
shit's sticking to
like
you.
Like a hot rubber rectangle on your
we
chest.
We both have iconic films on our chest right now.
Iconic films that I feel like the other one likes more.
Like, I like Tenet a lot.
I don't know, I feel like Tenet's like, that's probably my favorite Nolan movie.
Yeah, that's crazy. Speaking of, tomorrow's my Oppenheimer IMAX night.
Oh, yeah.
4 times lucky.
That's great.
Two more the amount of times than bombs that were dropped on Japan during World War II. For those.
Hey, we're even, Japan.
Yeah, I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part, America. This is part of my sorry Japan tour. That'd be great if a band or someone just was like, did something heinously, like, you know, off color, and then did a sorry country name tour.
Yeah, yeah, but didn't go to that
sorry
country.
The Philippines, and they're, yeah, playing in like Spain. And they're like, yeah, they're not letting us back in for what we said, but damn, they do be sucking there.
What are you hoping to get out of the biggest screen version of Oppie?
Just you know, Tom Cruise said it best, big movies, big screen.
Yeah.
Wow, popcorn.
I need to see it again. I should try and see it again. But
you should. Yeah, it's amazing. It's still playing. Like,
I'll see it. Obviously, watch it on my TV, but I should probably...
I would recommend going to the Ritz to see 70 mil if it's still on there. But you know what? I think they're going to play the IMAX when it opens here. I reckon they're going to do like a...
Yeah.
I think they're going to do like a... there's things coming out. You know, I'm hoping actually the IMAX in Sydney, which is, of course, where the Hey Fam podcast is based. Proudly filmed every episode,
yeah,
except for one in the ACT.
Actually, yeah, our podcast is recorded on the biggest screen.
Yeah, on the biggest screen in
Southern
Sydney.
Hemisphere. You know, it's not anymore. Yeah, when they reopen it, the screen's going to be smaller than when it was closed. Why would you allow that to happen?
The one thing you should be doing.
I would be like, you know what? I'm going to expand. It's just like 1 centimeter. It's just going to be bigger
now. If Tom Cruise found out, he would not have premiered Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning.
He would have been like, you know what? You guys are getting six again.
Yeah. Yeah. He would not have premiered that so eagerly. I'm hoping that the A24 picked up Stop Making Sense and have done an IMAX print of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That comes out in November, so I'm hoping that would be a great film to see, like, at an IMAX.
For sure.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that that lines up and they're not, like, 8 Marvel's sessions a day for 3 years, so pizza fans can catch that shit. I still can't believe that's, like, the second most expensive MCU film.
I mean, it's all because of COVID protocols,
no, it's because
right?
of Brie Larson's pizza writer.
Of course, you're right. every day she needs 1 million pizzas.
They need to import, like, particular... She follows that, what is it, the Napoli, you know how there's like a specific
every member of the set has to be proven.
Yeah, and they have to pass their pizza certification. There's wood-fired ovens in like every trailer. They need like exhaust experts on set.
Before anyone could, that young girl playing
Miss Marvel, she's like just started at Domino's or something. And she's like, no, forget everything you've
learned. Straight to Naples.
Yeah, you got to go to Naples. We are learning how to make pizza pie or this movie is not getting
charcoal made. Only.
She's like, what about instead of us like transporting around space, how about like we all in Italy? She's getting a real master of none.
You know what? That sounds way better to me.
How could it be if Ms. Marvel was just making pizza?
Every time Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, and the other chick use their powers,
they go to pizza.
They go to Italy. And they all just sit down and have a nice pizza.
Yeah, it's like the shawarma scene from the Avengers, but 90 minutes.
And it happens 50 times.
It's like My Dinner with Andre. It's just a movie about people sitting down and talking.
Yeah.
That's the future I want. And I also want McDonald's-sponsored Loki debuts.
It's always odd to be reminded that superhero movies are just around the corner.
Yeah, the writer's strike has been a blessing for several reasons. One, writers getting paid a lot more.
It's over now. So it sounds like they all got a good deal.
Yeah, the actor's strike's still on, though.
Fran Drescher has got their backs, though. Don't worry.
She everybody. Does. She's.
I am surprised that the writer's strike ended. Obviously, it began earlier, too, but I thought it would go for longer than the actor's one.
Yeah, it sounds like
I thought Hollywood Bob would be Iger, like, my professor's actors.
He's probably like, I don't need 40 yachts. Maybe 38 yachts is fine. The big old Bobby.
Coolest thing that happened this year was Ron Perlman saying there's lots of different ways you can lose a house.
Just insane. just doing an open threat on Twitter directed at nobody.
He's like in his like 70s,
yeah,
right?
He looks insane too. Yeah, he looks
sick. He looks like a Tom Waits character.
Yeah, he does. He looks so long. He looks like Slender Man.
He has like Tom Waits dedicated an entire album to Ron Perlman.
He looks like if Slender Man had like elephantitis.
But also handsome at the same time.
But it's beautiful, yeah. It also looks like a bear.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like a straight-up bear.
He's sick.
The bear.
Good show.
Great show. This is going to be some funny episodes because we're pretty hot.
It's so hot in your room. I don't know.
It's probably hotter outside.
You're right, but it's still hot here. I was going to say let's try and do it at mine, but then Tilly has either sprained or fractured her wrist.
It's 26 degrees in here. That's pretty hot.
Yeah, well,
in this room right now, because the AirPods now measure temperature.
Oh wow!
So it's 26.
Wait, are those? Oh, you mean the HomePods?
HomePods. I'm sorry.
AirPods are
those. The humidity of 44.
That would be cool though. If AirPods took your temperature.
Yeah, I'd like.
You just shove it in there. Listen to a quick song.
COVID. Yeah, you know your favorite rap song would be interrupted. Yeah, for all the dogs would be interrupted by saying you should go get a test. Oh, I've just been invited, and you know, obviously this extends to Hot Potato, the story of the Wiggles world premiere. as part of South by Southwest in a couple of Thursdays. I probably won't get to that one. What about you?
I mean, if you go, I'll go.
I mean, what is that?
Is it a movie?
It's a film. It's like a big... Like,
who directed it?
Dorothy. Captain Feathersword. Jeff, there's only like... There's missing reels.
Because if someone does a like warts and all Wiggle story,
that's what
sign
it is.
Me up. Is it actually?
It's warts and all. It's about them meeting in like early childcare training and like their struggles. Like there was an ad the other day which shows that, and it has all the like emotional beats and probably even has like a piano version of one of their songs in a minor key playing over it. It's like filmed now and it's like warts and all. It's like their official documentary.
Well, no, that's not, if it's official, I want someone to actually like, because there's some murkiness that we don't know the full story about.
Oh really?
Like, yeah, like members leaving and not being allowed
to
leave.
Yeah, I think it goes into that. They speak about like the illness.
I think we should go see it. It's so funny they call it Hot Potato.
It's coming to Amazon as well.
Okay.
But maybe we should go see it.
McDonald's presents Hot Potato.
McDonald's presents Amazon's own, yeah, Hot Potato. Speaking of Amazon, and Chris Nolan 5 minutes ago, have you heard the big rumors about the Bond? You know how Bond, you know, Amazon own Bond now?
Yeah.
The Broccolis. Broccoli boys.
So, you know what? They shouldn't have called Amazon like Prime Video. They should have called their streaming service Broccoli Plus.
Broccoli Boys.
The Broccoli Boys.
And Broccoli Boys Plus.
Wait, but they don't own the Broccolis. They
don't.
There's they co-own Bond with the Broccolis?
I don't know. I don't know. But the big rumor is... and there's
been Barbara Broccoli, is that her name?
Yeah, Barbara. I think Albert Broccoli was like her father.
So good.
Mr. Broccoli is her dad, yeah. Please. Call me Barbara Broccoli. The big rumor is that Nolan is being courted for like one or two films, but is refusing to do them unless they are period pieces and direct adaptations of Fleming novels, which means he's like, the only way he can do Bond is in the 60s.
I mean, I agree with that. That'd be fun and different.
Yeah.
To make it.
Don't compete with Mission Impossible. Don't compete with Bourne. Like, he's just, apparently he's like fighting for it. And he's like, I will do this. Like, obviously Tenet, Inception, or he's like, everyone always says there is Bond auditions. And his big thing is they have to be period pieces with like minimal to no gadgets and just straight up like spy films, practical effects with just like him being
you could have a couple gadgets.
Like little gadgets.
Like a pen bomb.
Yeah, but not like, you know, watches that, you know, perform C-sections.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So just very minimal stuff, which would be like, I think that's the only way you can go after Daniel Craig.
This is like lame as shit, but I that was always my favorite part of Bond movies, the Q scene.
Of course they were. It was like... setting up, it was Chekhov's gun, the scene. It was just like, here are three great...
Chekhov's pen.
Here are three great like sequences that we're kind of tipping you off to now. So you, before you ask yourself, how's he going to get out of this? You will see the car go invisible.
Yeah.
What about the R scene in Die Another Day when Q had died and they'd replaced him with John Cleese's R?
Yeah.
What's that R stand for, do you think?
I'm sure it's a word that John Cleese himself loves to yell.
Sure, he's like defending it against woke culture at the moment.
Definitely like wearing a cool t-shirt that says like woke culture with the middle finger up.
It's so cool. I love just people who are funny getting old and being like, I can't tell rape jokes on campus anymore.
Who was that British comedian that like he went viral like about 2 weeks ago because he was like, oh, can you still tell jokes? Can you? And he just told, it was like, you
Russell
know.
Russell Brand?
No, is it Jimmy Carr? Is that his name?
Yeah, I think it's Jimmy
Carr. And it was like the lamest stand-up routine ever. It was
it
like
rules. It's so cool. Just being,
but it was. I was like, hell yeah! He's gonna say some hateful shit.
But he didn't.
It was just kind of like,
can you even tell jokes?
He's like, some people say the best things in life are free. Well, clearly, they've never had sex.
Incredible.
Yeah, and it was just like that for like 8 minutes.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais started something very dangerous, didn't he?
What's he doing these days?
I don't know.
I feel like Elon Musk stole his Twitter personality from Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais is like the angel version of his devil version. Ricky would always post like, he was very lame. He was like, send me cute animal pics, please. Like borderline, maybe should be on a list.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Also,
it's very easy to Google like animal pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone that's like, I'm being sad, send me pictures. I'm just like, your phone should then automatically call a hospital. Like, you know what I mean? And an ambulance in straitjacket rolls right up to your house.
Or it automatically turns on Pain and Gain. And you down and watch Pain and Gain.
It takes over every screen in your house with Pain and Gain and locks the doors. If you have smart locks.
Yeah, you can't get out of your house until Pain and Gain is over.
I would lock someone in a room with a smart lock and be like, you have to watch
Pain and Gain. I had a tough day. Can someone send memes?
Watch Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain time.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Man, that was a great night.
So speaking of Elon Musk, I've been watching the fourth episode of season 3 of Morning Show this week, where John Hamm plays one of the most charismatic actors in the world.
Yeah,
plays an intentionally uncharismatic portrayal of Elon Musk.
Such a challenge for him? Is that why he took it?
It doesn't really
him?
Work. It's just him being flat.
Yeah, which doesn't work because he's so like charming.
That said, probably the best episode of the season so far.
Okay.
They are really making it more of a power play kind of thing, where it's like basically all these different people trying to take over the TV station.
Cool.
And Jennifer Aniston might be one of them who is teaming up with Elon Musk, John Hamm's,
It's Game of Thrones, isn't it, for a TV station?
Yeah, Succession, but
but TV, badly written. One station.
But it was a good episode, I haven't done any research, but I'm pretty sure...
Good episode, like that's on the record? You're calling it just a good one?
Yeah, it was a fun ride.
Yeah, wow.
But Corey, one of the character, Billy Crudup's character... Yeah,
they all have very funny names in this show.
He had a party at his house.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it was
apartheid
the same...
or a party?
A party.
Okay, so he's not that much of an Elon Musk analog.
But I'm pretty sure he had the same mansion that Vinny has in the Entourage movie.
Really?
Yeah, like
did Pharrell rock up?
No, Pharrell, no hat.
Did a scene just go to a dissolve to black when he's like, "Hey guys, Pharrell's here."
Hey, Pharrell's gonna play one of his songs for you right now.
I think we should revisit that film.
I mean, anytime.
Yeah,
tell me.
I think I'm like, we should do a 10 years in.
Yeah, for sure.
10 years in, we should do a screening of it.
The Entourage movie.
Yeah,
I've only ever watched it on a plane.
That's the only way it can be viewed.
Man, imagine that's the first movie they show at the IMAX in Sydney.
It'd be amazing. Everyone's saying, you know how there's that like the Sphere in Vegas and there's that like, here's what we should play. It should be the Entourage movie. That'd be like the most amazing thing. Just everywhere you look.
And every
Vinny getting the part.
Different showing. Every different screening is introduced by a different member of the cast.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Hey, it's E. The guy that plays E, Kevin something.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Jeremy Piven.
Hey, fuckface, it's me, Jeremy Piven.
Some joke about Lloyd and a big ball. The other ball's missing because it's in Lloyd's mouth.
Actually, you know Lloyd's doing most of those introductions.
Yeah, and in character too. And and pro bono.
Yeah.
Like he's rocking up.
But you're getting a free glass of Mark Wahlberg's tequila with every screening.
Yeah.
There's an F-45 in each corner.
That show is so... James Cameron's in it. Like it's so in our DNA.
I think Wahlberg Week is back.
Yeah, I've heard the rumors.
So I did F45 this morning.
Was Mark calling you a little pussy?
It was way harder than usual, but there was no Mark paraphernalia about.
Maybe they got feedback. Maybe they're like Wahlberg Week, but
just tone it down
a
little bit.
Wahlberg
Week.
What was the
by
most
name
Wahlberg
only.
Factor of it? This particular session.
Oh, it was just lots of pump and iron. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, praying. Yeah.
No praying. It wasn't at 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's the first giveaway.
Yeah, that dome. So sick.
Yeah.
Like, it's so stupid, but I fucking love it.
Oh,
like,
man, I love it. You two are doing, like, a full... They've moved to Vegas.
I watched maybe an hour of people posting U2 clips on Sunday.
It looks phenomenal, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, like...
Me and Noon are, like, speaking about, like, going there.
So, it cost $2 billion to make this screen. Money well spent, I reckon.
Money well spent, yeah.
Every like, city should have a dome.
And I love that it's also on the exterior. Like, you have
the screen
outside.
Yeah, that's the coolest
part. And it's just, like, an eye.
Big eyeball.
Yeah. It's sick. It rules.
What's, like, your dream show? Besides the Entourage movie.
Okay, well, yeah. Entourage, Joker 2019. No, I mean, who do I think... someone like Kanye West would be insane in that dome. You know that shit is being, like, well thought out. Like, every single screen. Yeah. Kanye West, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone who's, like, a giant theatrical performer.
Sure.
And understands theatrics.
Like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Like the, Red Hot Chili Peppers or Sugar Ray.
Oh, can you believe
it? I was Sugar Ray and I want them That'd to play so the Sugar sick. Gay video before Mark McGraw
reenact it.
Yeah.
Write a song about it.
Yeah.
Who
do you want to see there?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I feel like it needs to be like, we don't have that many stadium rock acts anymore.
No, they're like the Rolling Stones and Paul McCartney. They're the people who've been doing it since like the 60s. It's crazy.
And like the list of artists on like a big scale that actually put effort in their shows is pretty like surprisingly small.
Yeah.
Like I feel like you've got Beyonce.
Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Drake. His latest show is insane. He has like that hologram sperm flying around and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Have you seen there's a hologram of him at the start and he sits next to it? It's
like
him
as
like an 11-year-old. And he's like wearing, they change it each show. There's
in Drake's show.
Yeah.
I thought you meant in the U2 show. There's
there's a hologram of Drake in the U2 show.
like the, when they brought Tupac to Coachella, Drake. But it's like Drake's still alive.
Drake's, yeah.
You can just
he's
do
not in
this
the wheelchair.
Mono. Yeah, yeah.
It's like Kid Drake Degrassi era. Yep. So I guess there's a lot of reference footage that's where they're able to make it. And they change the jersey for each, he's wearing like a sports jersey. And they change it for each city. But he like sits down and it's him like, with a little book of like raps and stuff, and he like takes a bong hit, and then Big Drake sits next to him, and like they somehow have done. He gets like the book out of his hand and starts like rapping the first song from it. It's insane.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Seriously, it's like that. It's just like him speaking about like being a loser kid on Degrassi and doing drugs and wanting to escape the city.
Okay, well, that's what I want to see in the dome then.
Yeah, I want to see Drizzy hit that shit. It's so crazy, man. I really hope that tour comes here. It looks insane.
It's what's crazy is that the most tickets ever sold to an event in Australia was Ed Sheeran at the start of the year.
Oh, really?
But he hasn't. It's just him and a guitar.
That's a poor use of space.
What's he doing?
It's fucking check out this.
Is he got a hologram of himself? Oh, we got the Drake hologram. Oh my god, that's so weird. So they're actually using hologram technology. Remember how he thought like everyone would be doing the hologram technology?
Yeah. He's like doing it to be like part of the show. And he like hands him something. I've seen a longer video where he like hands him a bong and stuff. It's crazy.
That's dope. Bongs are so good.
It's wild, right?
Is that hologram Drake? That just looks like a normal person. Why is Family Matters theme?
No, it's the same animation each night, and he's wearing like a different
So he's watching Family Matters.
Because it's like hologram? Set in the like 90s when he's doing Degrassi. It's like the start of the show.
That's so funny.
It's crazy, right?
Everywhere you look,
where's the, and then real Drake walks out.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, you.
It's tight as hell, right? I just want to see that bong hit. Damn.
How weird is that? What's the hook for his new song? Why'd you have to
slime you out?
Slime you out.
Sliming you out.
He's maybe the king of the worst lyrics in the universe. Oh,
yeah. He's like the goofiest, cringiest lyric man of all time.
Yeah.
So it bodes well.
What's your favorite shit Drake lyric?
There's so many. I mean, that's like, what's your favorite Beatles song? Shout out to Asian girls. Let them lights dim some. That one just came to my
mind. Yeah, that's one of the...
Because you know he was like when he came up with that, oh my god, dim sum like food, dim sum. But it also means dimming the lights.
I think it's with the Rihanna song. Oh no, what's my name? He goes the square root of 69 is 8 something. Because I've been trying to work it out. Oh,
that's so bad.
One of the weirdest lines.
No, he is such a has the corniest lines.
But sometimes he does like the transcendent corny line. Like my favorite, I think probably my favorite opening line to a Drake song is. Why do you have to fight with me at Cheesecake? You know, I like to go there.
It's such a good
about
line.
The franchise Cheesecake Factory in the
and
States.
That, my side girl got a 5S with the screen cracked. It still hits me back right away. That's like, that line speaks volumes. I love that line. It's like, that is like modern. Whenever he sings about iPhone tech, I really love it. That, you know, techs go green.
Yeah.
That is such a beautiful metaphor. Like, I want to go with Patrick Bateman on like, Degrassi, you know, young Canadian stalwart like Drake sings about the phenomenon of being blocked on iOS when, you know, you once had like pleasant blue exchange and now your texts are going through as green. Like, I think it's such a clever like phenomenon to sing about.
Yeah.
And like only Drake can pull that off because, you know, he's like a reply guy.
Well, sadly, he couldn't pull off Slime You Out.
You don't like that song?
I mean, no, I think the song is... Well, I like Scissor's part on
it. It's an interesting song to be like, here is a taste of my
And it does
record.
Sound like old Drake. I guess in terms of like the flow, but the chorus is line, so bad.
The biggest cringe line, which I love, is at the end when he does that like calendar rap and he says, July is when I first learned that July. Rhyming you lie with July is, you could tell he was just like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I've done it again.
Yeah. That to me, I was like, oh yeah, he's back. And when he's like, you girls need someone to micromanage you. Just like so toxic and like misogynistic.
I mean, one of the funniest moments that I've ever seen in a live show is when he came
flew
out
on the
trapeze over the crowd.
Wearing a Wallabies jersey.
Yeah.
That was like the icing on the cake.
And he was like, I see you over there in the you know,
saying the most generic
the white
thing.
Shirt.
I see you with the eyes.
Yeah, you're looking beautiful over there in your blue jeans.
I see you with hair. And all the girls like, oh my God, it's me.
that was a good show.
Yeah. We got to go if he comes again.
But the thing is, I haven't liked any Drake songs besides like Khaled collaborations, and thank God
but he's playing them.
DJ Khaled,
two tracks on the new album.
That was like my favorite series of photos. Shocker, right? A series of photos that DJ Khaled put on his Instagram.
Just him holding a.
So it's like him following Drake onto stage.
Yeah,
and he's just holding
a
sign
show or something.
Holding a sign that says, "I have two Drake songs on my new album coming out next year."
Phenomenal.
So good.
As if he needs Drake to sell that shit, but I love that he's like doing that.
Yeah, you know he loves like his. His, like, you know, not even just collaborations musically, but collaborations
toilet.
Culturally.
Yeah,
culturally. The toilets, him reading out Drake's shitty book.
Yeah.
I like what Drake likes.
Yeah.
Like,
he loves Drake.
Timeless.
Yeah. That's why we love Khaled.
I'm on one, probably my favorite Khaled song, and it's because of that Drake hook is
so
good.
It has to be. It's iconic.
All I care about is nothing in the city that I'm from. It's a good song.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Who is it? Lil Wayne, Drake. Is there someone else?
Is Rick Ross?
Yeah.
One of the best.
Oh, fuck, yeah. How did I forget? God, that was the best era. I kind of wish that Khaled would just only do songs with like those three artists.
No, he does like
Bieber's allowed. I like Bieber, and I think
he does like Chance the Rapper and just
Chance
like,
is okay on that Bieber song. But yeah,
what's that song again? The Bieber Chance song.
You're the one girl. The one girl.
Yeah, that was a cute song.
Yeah. And the Migos guys, they're good with Khaled. Migos fellas.
Once you get them together.
See, one of the surviving Migos guys was
eating that hot dog.
Said it was worth $10,000.
$100,000.
$100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
How the fuck?
That's what you do.
I've had a fucking cocktail with gold leaf in it. It's so dumb.
It doesn't make any sense.
When I used to work in like the publishing industry,
because then you just like shit, right?
Please come to our new venue. We have to treat you to a night of luxury and have our brand new martini, which normally would cost $90 or whatever. Here you go. And of course,
you just shit and it it's out,
like,
right?
And then they admit, yeah, it's just the $20 martini, except there's a leaf that we've coated in gold in there.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Bonkers as hell.
Dumb. The place didn't survive a half a year.
COVID had nothing to do with it.
No, it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, fuck that.
So you saw some movies over the weekend?
I saw one. I was
oh, damn. You didn't make it to theater camp?
I would have missed perhaps the start and I didn't want to risk it. Was at a different theater on the other side of town.
Well, you had to buy WarioWare Gold.
I had to buy WarioWare Gold. No, it was at the Ritz and I was at Broadway and it was like 25 minutes. And I was like, it's a super hot day. It's a Saturday. Beach. I was like, I don't want
to
risk it.
I was so amped for you to see that movie.
Yeah, I was too. But I came home and watched
Why'd
Seven.
You have to slime me out?
I'm sliming you out, dude. Sorry, dude. I slimed you out over the theater camp. But I saw Saw 10 or X, whichever you prefer.
And this is like, because the last Saw movie was the Chris Rock origins of Saw movie. What was that called?
It's a spin-off. It's about a new murder, I believe. It's called Spiral, and it's about a killer.
That's right.
Who is inspired by the guy by Jigsaw, and he's the Spiral killer. So it has nothing to do
with it. And no one liked it, right?
And I think Chris Rock was like, this is going to be like my new dramatic acting. Will Smith hated it. That's why. He was like, how dare you do that to
Keep
my
Jigsaw's
beloved.
Name out your motherfucking mouth.
He slapped the shit out of him when he... I think he thought he was like going to get in like... I think he was inspired by like Blumhouse and Jordan Peele. There's like new horror, Ari Aster.
I saw the head of Blumhouse saying, gee, that morning show season 3 has really gotten good.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I searched morning show yesterday on Twitter after the last, most recent Blumhouse. Episode. And it was the Blumhouse, Jason.
That's awesome. Maybe he'll buy the network.
Fuck, that'd be great. Yeah. Just immediate. Like turn into a horror.
Yeah, I saw Saw 10. I think the last Saw movie I saw was 2.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Which suits it because I think this is set between 1 and 2. It's doing almost one of those like the modern Halloween and stuff where they ignore.
Yeah, okay, latest. Sure.
Because I think he dies at the end of 2 and then it's just like copycats or he's like recorded tapes and set plans for the other ones.
Right, okay.
I could have watched them, but also like there's only so much you can...
Is Lee 1L still involved?
They're EPs. Okay. So they're getting money. They're signing something along the way. They're hitting yes on an email.
Sure.
Yeah. It's whatever.
It was pretty whatever.
Oh, yeah. It was like, it felt like a streaming movie. It was like,
should have seen Theater Camp, brother.
Well, it was at the wrong time. It was like one session and I wanted to go in aircon at the middle of the day.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
It was the hottest. Saw 10 was it. Unfortunately, there was like nothing else. I'd seen everything else.
There's like a whole bunch of good shit coming eventually, but we're in a little bit of a dry spell.
You haven't seen The Creator yet.
I'm going to see it.
Which is it's getting a lot of mixed reviews, surprised about.
So I'll see it on Tuesday before we record.
Yeah. There's a lot of mixed reviews, which is crazy. A lot of people I know that saw it before it was released was like, oh, this is great. And then all these reviews are like, this is boring and middling. And
well, I mean, that Gareth Edwards dude is like, he's definitely a good director. We kind of wish he would work with other people's scripts.
Yeah.
And is it a bit of that vibe this time around too?
Like, I think I met last week when I was like, it's a very broad script. Sure. But so is Avatar. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I have no problem with like broad movies. Like if it looks nice and, you know, it's something pleasant to look at for a couple hours, I'm kind of like forgiving.
I think writing is like, for me, the most important thing.
Well, he doesn't write them. It's like a story by him and it's Chris Weitz.
Okay.
Weitz wrote it, who wrote like American Pie.
Fucking sign me up.
And also wrote like the first draft of Rogue One before Tony Gilroy did a pass.
Right.
What he needed was Tony Gilroy to do the create a prequel series.
I feel like he doesn't like Tony Gilroy, right? Like,
no,
like,
I'm sure they...
Wasn't he brought in to save Rogue One?
I think he was brought in to like assist with Gareth Edwards, who was probably in over his head. But they were like collaborating.
Just every character had a brain slug.
Yeah, yeah. Gareth Edwards had a brain slug. yeah, he's not a great writer, but I don't know. He's a beautiful visual director. I tell you what, good thing it's not a book, because you can just sit back and look at it.
Yeah. He has a good flair for
something. Like imagery. Some broad things are really good.
The cinematographer is like a goat, right? Like it's
Guy. Two of them, but yeah, it's him, Greg.
The Batman, Mr.
Yeah,
the Batman,
Dune, all that good shit.
Yeah.
He's great. He did Rogue One as well, which is probably like this and that and The Last Jedi, two best looking Star Wars films made ever.
Yeah, I mean, in the middle of the fucking school holidays, and it's, you know, it's tough. Tough to get dad time, you know.
Oh, those little freaks.
They're great. I was trying to tell you earlier, but you started talking about something far more important, like fucking McDonald's or something. Tilly literally today either sprained or fractured her hand doing a cartwheel.
That's total girl shit, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. I think. I don't know. I haven't seen her yet. But
you got word of this?
Yeah, I got the text as I got here.
You're like, everyone needs to do
I was like, I'm doing a podcast. Leave me alone.
I don't care about my daughter's freaking hand. I'd do a podcast with no hands.
She tried to teach me how to do a cartwheel.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean...
When do girls start getting into cartwheels? Because I remember that, like, being
she's,
a
like,
thing.
So determined. So even if she isn't good at something, she'll just force... Just keep doing it again and again and again until she gets better at it.
Yeah.
Which is sick. Like, it's cool.
That's great. Yeah, that's a good skill to have.
But now she's amazing at cartwheels. I think she must have just had everyone has a bad cartwheel every now and then, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
I had several trying to do them on the beach. They're fucking hard, man.
Yeah, I can't do
them. I'm pretty strong now and, like, I can't support my body.
It's about balance as well. Yeah, yeah. You gotta keep that straight.
My core balance is terrible.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe Wahlberg week will fix that.
That you should get in there and be like, yeah, Mark.
Mark, we've got an idea for
maybe
you.
Maybe blinded that Wahlberg man by cartwheeling into his eye. We don't really know. We don't know. Yeah. The guy can't tell you.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But yeah, what have I watched all of the Wes Anderson Roald Dahl shorts.
Oh yeah, so did I.
Dude, we ended up, because we only watched Henry Sugar the other week.
That's
and
right,
I was like, fuck it.
Game Boy Advance.
Let's watch it all again.
Yeah, good.
And so we watched them all in one night. And
dude, it plays so well as like a big anthology.
But it felt like we were, you know, just eating dessert after dessert. You know, it felt like, oh shit, shouldn't we save these up? You know, and
I did, as a little treat, but one a night after.
They, once I was in the mood for it though, and I feel like they're pretty polarizing because they are like, well, I feel like if you're not in the mood for that kind of adaptation.
Oh yeah, like I think we're also at like this point of Wes Anderson's career. It's like, you don't go and check one out.
Yeah, yeah. You're either
in
it
or
not.
If you've never seen one before, yes. But I think if like you're versed in Anderson by now, like Asteroid City is like what, his 9th or 11th film or something, you're like, I'm in or out. Like, I know what this is. I know who's going to be in it. And like you and I are super straight white guys in their 30s. Obviously we're very in.
Yeah.
We're in, we're firmly in.
Super straight.
Well, like straight white guys.
Yeah, I like, I like the extra.
Well, I meant like super, we're super white, super, super like, straight. Super was like
super
the,
straight. Wait a minute. Now you're not my mate.
What's that?
Super Shy by New Jeans.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what's a Super Street?
Well, we're Super Shy guys as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Super Straight. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great song.
Regurgitator had a song called Super Straight.
Yeah, that's right. Off that album After You.
Art.
Yeah, and it kind of was a flop album, wasn't it?
They never really had a Fat Cop was a good song.
Yeah, that was like hip-hoppy, wasn't it?
Yeah, Fat Cop.
Like rock, it was like rap rock.
Yeah, rap rock, but it was, that's a good song.
Fat Cop, eh?
It has amazing drum fills. They put a new drum.
They're supporting Weezer. I'll Fill You In.
The Good.
Yeah.
That's a good choice for a support.
Yeah, they kind of tread that line.
I have no idea what they're going to be like these days, though.
Yeah, I don't even know if all members are still in the band. Like, I'm not
Quan
sure.
And Ben, they're the main,
yeah,
the
I remember they two. Switched drummers at one point. Yeah. Like the front end loader drummer or something.
Hell yeah. What everyone loves listening to the HameFam for.
90s alt rock fans.
Australian alternative rock from the 90s.
Well, if you're a fan of 90s alternative rock and are in Melbourne this Friday, unfortunately you won't be.
Yeah, gutted.
But I
just really remember I've got to tell you what I'm doing on Friday.
You're not seeing Weezer with Noon?
I am taking my kids to Hello Kitty Orchestra, which is at Chatswood. At the performance center there.
Oh, yeah, the performance center.
There's like deep Sanrio lore shit, like nerd shit. But like, I saw it and I was like, oh, that'll be fun to take the kids to. But of all of the Sanrio characters, the cast of characters, enormous, you know, hundreds of characters, the four characters who are part of this concert, which is like, I don't know if it's like a bunch of like string musicians in Hello
Dressed
Kitty
up
costumes,
or
are they dancing? I'm not. I'm like, part of me going is just
curiosity. Right?
Like, we're gonna know what the fuck this is.
Yeah.
But it's Hello Kitty, makes
obviously,
total sense.
Need.
And then it's Dear Daniel, who is a cat that
Damn,
looks
Daniel.
Like Hello Kitty. And then,
do you think because they got two suits, and we're like, well,
yeah,
just put like whatever Dear Daniel's is.
And then I think it's My Melody the Bunny and Bad Bats Maru, that sneaky little penguin.
Sure, I know that one.
Yeah, he's good. But I'm real curious as to what the fuck this show's gonna be.
Yeah,
I know. I wonder. They hopefully they'll play some Weezer songs.
Or yeah, just be like, hey, I'm supposed to be at a Weezer show.
Yeah.
Do you mind playing the Sweater song? I'm really pumped for Weezer. That's gonna be crazy.
How many times do you reckon you've seen them live?
I saw them at Lollapalooza. Los Angeles, New York, a Sydney show, a Melbourne show. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4. This will be 6th time. I've only seen them once in my hometown. Seen them 3 times in America.
That's amazing.
I guess you kind of have to. They're that type of band. Like, they don't really translate crazily outside of America.
Yeah, they've played here a couple of times, right? I've
played here in 1996. Wow. And 2013.
That's fucking nuts.
That's the only time. And then a few years ago, but they only supported the Foo Fighters at a stadium for one show. So I didn't go to that out of protest.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what they're doing this tour with Kiss. But at least they're doing other shows. But the best time I saw them was the Bowery Ballroom. It was their last Rick Ocasek produced album, the guy from the Cars. He was there. Jason Schwartzman was there. It was like a slew of stars. Very small venue.
Like on stage or just in the crowd?
No, just in the crowd. They played like a rarities set first, like Rivers Acoustic, like Pinkerton B-sides. I was like on cloud nine and
bussin'.
Each new song, another member would come out and like grab another instrument. And then there was their latest album in full, which was like a really good album, like a very big return to form record. And then some Pinkerton shit, like Tide of Sex as the encore. It was like just like 30 songs of Weezer. And it was this tiny venue, which is like maybe smaller than the Metro in Sydney for context. But Metro. I'd always heard of the Bowery. Like, speaking of Metro, it didn't come.
Oh, Metro Boomin cancelled Listen Out, the festival.
Cancelled, but did you see he was like, oh, I said this a month ago and they didn't report it?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, for once, a festival replaced a hip-hop act from overseas with a good hip-hop act from
Australia. Yeah, not Hilltop Hoods.
Like, I think trading Metro Boomin for 1-4 is like, actually, like, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'd be okay
I think
with
there's
that.
Some crossover with the audience, absolutely.
What does Metro Boomin do live? Is he playing his songs? Is he?
I don't know. Like, does he watch Spider-Man?
which Sanrio character does he have on stage with him?
I don't know. Which regurgitated drummer is he friends with? I don't know what he does. Is it like a DJ set? Or
I'm not sure. If it was just him going, Metro!
I reckon he delayed because For All the Dogs is held back. And I reckon he's doing stuff for All the Dogs.
Yeah, it's true.
Because he was like, you know, he's on Hurt Loss and like, on the last like Savage Boomin record. You know, that click. So I honestly...
I feel like he like locks in you know, he's our producer for a while. Yeah,
I reckon that's why. Because that record got pushed back like a little bit. I have, I'll save it for PayFam.
Can't wait. He was meant to come out, Metro Boomin was meant to be here for the Listen Out Festival, which just finished yesterday. Ice Spice was the headliner.
Yeah, and Ice Spice, no, Skrillex was.
Okay, yeah.
Skrillex was like the headliner.
So there's two stages, right? Yeah, one's like a rappy stage, and the other one's a more electronic stage. Yeah. And except in Adelaide, where they do
listen in,
and it's like one stage. And so the person on before Ice Spice was Mark Ribellet or Ribellet.
Yeah, like a meme DJ or something.
So he makes loops and like
yeah.
And did you watch the video of like?
Is that him saying like vote yes?
No, it's like
that's him getting booed.
Everyone's
like,
just like boo, like fuck yeah, it. We want Ice Spice. We want Ice Spice. And then he loops himself, going, "We want Ice Spice. We want Ice Spice."
That's you playing. Sorry.
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
No one was actually booing me as it happened.
No, but that's you. You're like taking advantage of it.
That's true.
Of the situation. Yeah. And being like, I'm turning this around.
But no, he was so much worse. He jumped into the crowd with a microphone and was just letting them insult him for like 15 minutes.
Is he like a meme guy or something?
Yeah, somewhat. I know he has a jam video with, who's the music critic guy on YouTube?
Oh, the bald man.
Yeah, Mr. Melon.
The needle drop. What's his name?
I can't remember.
Anthony Fantano.
Well done. Yeah. True music fan.
But it's weird that confirmed. He has like three names.
Yeah.
Remember when Drake DM'd him and said like, kill yourself?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, he was like, I give your life a light zero. And then he just posted the Drake DM. He's like,
yeah,
Drake just
missed. I know that Drake lost that so hard. Like, just by even acknowledging that guy existed.
But
at
it's
all.
Just it's a funny thing to DM someone.
Yeah. Like, that's real Kanye energy.
Using your words against you. Yeah, it's very Kanye being like, when he sent that picture to Drake and Pusha T of like him as Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. He's like, there's been like 4 hours of footage leaked this week of like a unmade, basically Kanye paid a guy to follow him around with an iPhone for like,
was it you?
I wish.
It you? And were you also not paid?
Yes. And yes, no, he had this guy do it, during like the tumultuous years,
hectic
2016 to like 2019.
Oh man. I hope that guy's in therapy now. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why this footage leaked, but it's pretty sad stuff, but there's a really interesting bit where he's just like...
Was he the guy that took photos of Kanye getting boathead?
No, that was me. That was Kanye's wife. I was sucking him off when I had my bleached short hair. But he's like...
He's just got his whole ass out.
This
so
is wild.
So
just getting
fucking
top.
Crazy.
Getting top. And you know, like, there's going to be a line about it on the new album.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hopefully opening line, like getting top.
And it'll be censored because he'll...
No, I think he's back to...
Back
swearing.
To the old him.
The leaks. Well, this... Yeah, I know someone, I'll just say that, who is cooking for him right now in Tuscany, where he debuted the new album.
Actually cooking food?
Kanye's team like picked him. He's like a guy who lives in England.
Dubs.
It's Dubs. But he's been cooking for him, has like heard the new record.
I'm going to make you the best Bonino.
And like flew him over, know of someone, and have been receiving like DMs from them. I'll tell you who it is off mic.
Can't wait.
They know a few people that you know.
Right.
But they're like, yeah, it's at Sting's mansion in like Tuscany. And he's just like playing the album for friends. And it's like complete. It's swearing. It's like a lot of Ty Dolla Sign. A lot of like, it sounds crazy apparently. But like, besides that.
I've heard that before.
I've seen
though.
What he's
like,
cooking.
I've heard that before. This time the album's really good.
But I've seen what he's been cooking him.
Right.
Which I'll show you. I don't want to reveal too much because I don't want to get this guy in trouble. It's pretty funny though. Maybe I'll cut that out actually. I don't want to get
who
that
knows?
Guy in trouble.
Who knows?
What minute was that?
We're at just around 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to cut that out.
Just like bleep a little bit. Leave the Dubs joke in there. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't want to get him in trouble.
Damn it.
Because he's like getting paid a lot to do it.
He won't. No one listens to this show.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, but he said that his fried chicken was banging.
Perfect.
Or something like that. He was like, great fried
chicken.
He said,
man, you've got to check my boy's fried chicken.
But what were we talking about before that?
Kanye album.
Oh, it's him getting filmed. Yeah, and he's just like losing it at one point, being like, I can't believe I gave Teyana Taylor an album. I can't believe I gave Nas an album. And he's fucking rapping off beat on, he names the song, which was like a big complaint when that Nas album came out. He's like, I can't believe I gave fucking Pusha T Daytona. These are like three dark fantasy level projects that I just gave away. No one respects me. Like losing is like, I hate running this label. I don't want to run it. It's like pretty crazy.
Fuck.
He's like, that's so ungrateful.
Daytona's so
back.
Good.
Yeah, he's like, why did I give it away?
And like,
no, he's like, I want it. He's just like, that should have been mine. He's like, yeah. I gave these things and I'm getting no thanks for it. He's like, they all like, they're not promoting this shit because of me. And he's like, they're three insane projects. Like, Teyana Taylor, where is the love? Oh, there's a particular song. He's like, why the fuck did I give that away? He's like, that's insane. And he's like,
yeah, right.
Freaking out. And he's like, I don't want to run the fucking label. He's like, I hate this shit. But I was like, damn, that's revealing. I never thought that, I don't know. I thought he'd be like, those albums rule. I'm
I know. If anyone has his back, it's Pusha.
He hates him now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Crazy. Like Pusha hates Kanye now or Kanye hates Pusha?
Pusha hates him. He's distanced himself since the Jew stuff.
Oh, good.
Which, you know.
I was always surprised that he lasted as long as he did.
Yeah, same.
Without talking shit.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Time heals wounds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if people who work with Kanye are anything like the people who listen to him, they'll be forgiving him pretty soon.
And we don't even get paid. Hey, none today.
So yeah, let's get back to speaking of people that hate Jews, Roald Dahl.
Yeah, number one Jew hater.
I forget that about him. Yeah.
He's from a time where like you have to assume 80% of the things they said were terrible.
He wrote like a billion books, and I don't know if he was rich in his own lifetime or was he?
No,
because you watch videos of him because like all these short stories are set from like he's kind of narrates or opens some of them or it will cut to him, like what's his name, Ralph Fiennes playing Roald Dahl in a recreation of this like
Gypsy's
shitty
hut.
Little
is that
hut,
what it's called? Gypsy's
yeah,
hut.
That
yeah,
that he used to write all these books from that was separate
Gypsy's
from
cottage
his house
or something
because
yeah,
he didn't want to be disturbed by anyone.
And it's so, like shot for shot recreation, like prop wise, everything, the shitty table.
Yeah, had you seen like that video that I seen before?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same. It's and the same outfit, the like maroon yeah, like cardigan.
It's crazy how faithful they are.
I don't know what he looks
it
like. I assumed he had red hair for some reason.
Right. But he's like, yeah, he doesn't look like someone who has
no,
any form of
like
wealth.
He doesn't look like someone who's a lord or like a duke. You know what I mean?
Like,
he
yeah,
just looks like quite curmudgeonly. And
all
comfort.
He does is drink coffee and eat and write
and
stories.
A
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of a thermos as well. Like it's
yeah,
like,
very British.
Yeah.
But he goes out back, you know, hides from me. But he was like a Royal Air Force
yeah, he has
officer.
A, yeah, totally.
He
he's killed, old as shit.
He killed Nazis, didn't he?
I think maybe, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I know Christopher Lee did.
I can't remember the part of Going Solo where he ices a Nazi.
I haven't read that one.
I remember that I think that's the first like first form of Levin's autism that I can remember is getting a Roald Dahl book and there being
looking at the front page
every single
like,
book that he's ever written and yeah, being like, I will read all of these.
And I did. Yeah, wow, I've read like none.
Really?
I read like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
That's crazy because your parents are fucking primary school teachers.
That's probably why I didn't read them.
Because you were like, fuck that school shit.
Yeah, I never watched. I've never seen the Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka.
What?
Yeah, I just wasn't interested in it.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just did nothing.
It's such a formative piece of media for me. Like, I feel like growing up, it was like the go-to, like when...
Did you have the VHS?
No, but it was just on TV all the time.
Yeah,
and
I wasn't interested in it.
I remember it would get put on as like a wet weather
sure,
movie at school all the time. And
I reckon I've seen like the intro maybe 20 times because of that, like the first class.
Okay,
length,
yeah, sure.
Like the old people in bed and shit.
Yeah.
Charlie getting the tea, but I've never seen the whole thing.
It's like, I know that Roald Dahl hated it at the time.
Sure.
But like, it's a pretty good adaptation.
Yeah. It changes it so like Willy Wonka's kind of like a nice guy, right? Which is kind of different to the book. Where
yeah,
just
well,
like,
he's like, I feel like no one, like Gene Wilder wouldn't have done the project unless he could
be
somewhat
nice
of it, not
yeah,
the hero, yeah.
Because he's kind of like Michael Jackson, isn't he? Like,
no, I don't know. He's just like, he's warm, yeah, in a way.
No, I mean in the book.
Oh, okay, right.
He's kind of like this...
Pedo.
No, not a pedo. Okay, not Michael Jackson. But like a
R. Kelly. No, wait, no.
Like a Jeffrey Epstein. You know, has an island that he flies kids out to. No, it's just like he's like a recluse that no one
he
knows about.
He's definitely a recluse. But, but he's still... And then he has like... Yeah, there's a lot of mystery about him. But
yeah.
I mean, there's a great character in the movie, which is someone who... is just in the background and is trying to buy the golden tickets off people. Mm. And like he's revealed at the end, there's a twist.
Oh yeah, that's right. And he was like
working with Wonka and like,
In the book too, right?
I can't remember. I just remember that being like a really cool part of the
that's
movie.
That's right. And it's like, oh, he was hired by him to try to see if you would
I think
waver.
The biggest thing is that they write new songs like the Oompa Loompa Doobity Doo. That's not part of the
of course
book.
Not. No.
But they all sing weird songs of like after any of the,
I mean, I know they're like, well, Imagination or whatever that song is.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. They turn it into a musical. It's like a perfectly fine 70s.
Yeah, it's like
kids
a Technicolor.
Movie.
It's like, yeah, a Wizard of Oz-esque, like, broad, they don't make them like this anymore.
Yeah.
Technicolor fantasy.
I'm telling you, it's at least 5 points better than the fucking Wonka movie that Chalamet is making is going to be. Is
where does, it, where does it rank with against the
I reckon it's going to be a Cats.
Where does it rank
it
with
disaster.
The Depp-man?
I've never seen the Depp movies.
I've seen the Depp. Well, there's only one.
Oh, right. I just assumed it was like Alice in Wonderland. You know,
no,
how,
there's only one.
You know that they made like an unofficial... Look, it's sequel. It's in a sequel, but it's like based, not based on anything,
the
right?
The first movie. Yeah, I think so.
Is,
yeah,
it based on like Jabberwocky and like
know,
the actual books?
I mean, I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I only read that. Maybe I read like The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, crazy. So like, yeah, I mean... I feel
definitely
like
had the twits read to me when I was in primary school.
My two favorites were SEO Trot and The Vicar of Nibblesweet.
It's Tortoise Backwards, isn't,
yes,
it?
Yes, and so it's all about like, yeah, like just like dyslexia basically.
Yeah.
And in Vicar of Nibblesweet, it's a vicar, so like a priest who he speaks backwards. He speaks certain words backwards, and so he says like instead of taking a sip of the wine,
takes
he says
piss.
Take a piss, or like
it's very funny.
Please don't park. Peas don't crap.
Yeah.
And like I thought it was the funniest fucking thing when I was a kid.
That's why he was such a great writer. Cause
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kids are going to love this shit. Was he the British?
And those two books are like tied together.
Yeah,
so
sure.
they're the same form of dyslexia that the tortoises and the priest has. And they both deal with it by walking backwards. I don't know. It's goofy
that's,
shit.
That's how you cure
I love like revolting rhymes and hideous beast or something. Revolting beasts, something like that.
Was he the Paul Jennings of his time?
I think Paul Jennings definitely influenced by Roald.
Yeah.
Roald. But yeah, I mean, like, I guess...
Strange name, Roald Dahl. Just sounds like...
Yeah.
Like, sounds like you're making, like...
But he has, like, you know, everyone knows, like, the big fantastic ideas books of his. But then he has some truly, like...
Matilda, everyone knows.
He has some truly boring British books.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like not fantastical. Just, like...
There's, like, yeah, like...
just morality tales type of shit.
I'm trying to think of this. I think it's like Danny Champion of the World.
Now, I remember that cover as a kid and being like, oh, this might be like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's got a kid in the title, you know?
Yeah.
And I had like a double book, which had the great... I mean, the thing I always associate with Roald Dahl is Quentin Blake.
Of course. Incredible.
Incredible illustrations. Like, I still picture...
So scratchy and weird.
Yeah, I picture his Willy Wonka and Charlie and stuff.
Yeah, I loved the BFG and I still haven't seen the Spielberg...
Neither have I, but I am doing a Spielberg watch-a-thon still. Like, it's paused at the moment, but, you know, I've got to watch that as part of it.
But yeah, though, it was pretty bonkers, the like, how into Roald Dahl I was. I guess it was, like, the first time you learn of, like...
When you're, like, eight?
This pre-existing... Like, there's so much to get cover, but it's all just written for you in a checklist. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Or you've already read four of them. Yeah, yeah, eight or so.
Sounds,
and then I guess
it's very eight.
Over the next 2 years, I just read everything. And yeah, so Boy and Going Solo are like his memoirs.
Sure.
But then there's a whole bunch of books for adults.
See, I didn't know that.
Right. I knew that there was like a couple of
James
collections.
James and the Giant Peach, everyone knows.
Yeah, and that's a really fun... The Henry Selick animation version of that is really fun. And the 1990s Witches movie.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in the theater in Melbourne with my dad.
That sucks.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
What do you mean that?
Oh, the makeup in it is crazy, but yeah.
Does it suck?
It's like a TV movie. It's pretty, sure, pretty low budget shitty.
Right. Angelica Houston.
Yeah. She's goated in
kids
it.
Kids getting turned into rats.
Yeah. That's fine.
And it was remade recently with, Anne Hathaway.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it was like one of the first films that was like, oh, COVID happened.
This the Enormous Crocodile, a banger.
Is that a book?
Yeah. George's Marvelous Medicine.
Yeah.
Real fun. Fantastic Mr. Fox is probably the best of them. And
the best movie.
Definitely the best adaptation.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, why it's cool that Wes Anderson is returning back to the Roald Dahl well.
He suits it so well.
I mean, which is baffling because he's not British.
No, he does live in France. So maybe it's like they split the difference.
But like, where did he grow up in is he grew up in California? Texas. Yeah, yeah, right. Shit.
Grew up with the Wilsons.
Oh, yeah.
Owen and...
Mara Luke. Wilson.
Yeah, and Mara. Matilda herself.
Yeah.
And Woodrow Wilson.
And Wilson.
And Brian Wilson of
Wilson,
the Beach Boys.
The next door neighbor from Home Improvement.
Wilson from Home Improvement. All the Wilsons.
Yeah.
And the ball from Castaway. Obviously.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Chet Hanks' dad.
Yeah. Chet Hanks' brother, Wilson the ball.
But yeah, like the adult stories, I bought, I remember like being an like being like a like you know like a teenager and seeing one of the collections and being like, oh cool.
Did he write those later in his career? He's like, no,
I no, the whole way through, and he wrote them for like magazines, like a bunch of
right.
a bunch of these short stories were written for Playboy, including so someone that were like you know that were turned into short films by Wes Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Which ones?
I don't know which ones in particular, but like he wrote like he just had a, every month he would submit a short story to like Playboy, to different magazines.
That's, I had no
different
idea.
Different newspapers, and then they were collected. So it wasn't like they're different. He's not writing a collection of short stories. He's doing it for magazines.
Mm, mm.
And so eventually they all get collected in all these different collections. There's no like, I hate this. There's no like
master collection.
Exactly. That's what I want. I would get as a, you know, idiot. That's the one I want. I don't want to get like 9 different compilations and like some of them have the same stories in it. Yeah. Some of them have, blah, blah, blah. Just give me a big weapon of a book.
That, and he's obviously, and he's been in the press recently too because of his books are being changed, right? Content of the books.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess if you want to keep republishing them, like the sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is racist as shit. Especially to Asians.
Yeah. I remember you were saying.
And like, it's like, as in like he'll impersonate how he thinks someone with a Chinese accent will sound.
Yeah, right. Like phonetically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Considering it was written in like the '50s or something, like it's not great.
He'd never seen a Chinese person.
No, exactly.
He hadn't shot it in war.
But yeah, he starts writing books in the '40s and then he dies in like the '90s. But
I remember him dying.
Do you know that? Remember that movie Four Rooms, the Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
The Quentin Tarantino segment in that is based off of one of his short stories,
that's
The Smoker.
Yeah, which one?
So The Smoker.
I had no idea.
And it was even so Alfred Hitchcock adapted that before as well.
What?
So yeah, all of his stories, like, and that, so Poison, the one that Wes Anderson did, that's one of his most famous short stories.
Yeah, it that was so good.
But yeah, it is weird, right? Like he has this. So this beloved children's fiction writer, but he wrote as much, if not more, stories for adults.
Because you watch these and they're not like, I mean, Henry Sugar, not really. Like none of them are really like kids' tales.
No,
none of these. Like especially The Swan, which is like a very morose, sad.
That's probably my favorite.
Same.
As well.
I love that one because I, as a kid, I used to love those stories that were like, just like, oh, someone could try to kill you. Like it's so like visceral.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into all four of the Wes Anderson shorts.
Yeah.
That are airing
we're
on Netflix
not talking
now.
About Wes Anderson's shorts.
Oh, we might.
Well, I don't think he wears them. He strikes me as like a slacks man. You know.
I wonder if, he does, if before Payfan, like, I can wear find like Wes Anderson wearing shorts.
He would wear like what do they call them? Like a colonial style. You know, like
totally.
Safari suit style shorts I see him in.
But we're going to go through all of all the four Wes
all
Anderson
that's what
Roald Dahl shorts, and I guess I don't know. I've got like a little bit of a ranking of what I think. I loved all of them though. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if like I feel like Netflix aren't doing enough to promote that this
exists.
They're like
hiding them.
Well, it's weird. They're not really like part of a collection. If you go,
they should have it called like Wes Anderson Roald Dahl shorts. Yeah. And it just has like part one, part two, part three, part four. You know what I mean? They're just like serving them randomly.
They are in a playlist, which is called the Roald Dahl Collection, which also includes the very recent adaptation of Matilda,
the
musical that Tim Minchin wrote, which actually is not bad. I watched that with Tilly recently. There's another really random one in there as well. I think Fantastic Mr. Fox is there, and then there's one other like, what the fuck is that doing there? But it's like, yeah, like things that are very much not part of this Wes Anderson project that are in this playlist.
Sure.
But yeah, I
want to know more about this project. Like I haven't researched a lot of it, like what happened with Wes and it.
Yeah, how it came to be, what the budget was.
Yeah.
Because it's sick that like he's getting away with doing whatever the fuck he wants with this. Like,
oh, yeah, this was...
it's so, if you're not in the mood for this, it does nothing to try and win you over. But it's fantastic. I think it's like some of his best work.
It's so good. It just reminds me of like, and it obviously leans into it by the fact there's like stagehands in them, but it just reminds me of like watching like a live theater performance. With
totally.
Moving sets and like
complete with mistakes, the intentional mistakes.
It's so good. And it's the cast is just unbelievable.
Yeah, so good. I need to know more about Rupert Friend.
Well, he's in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Damn.
He plays the Grand Inquisitor.
Better watch that again.
Yeah, he's the he's the lead villain.
That's so funny, really?
Yeah.
Wasn't he old?
Well, it's makeup. You know, he's an alien.
Oh.
He's not real. He didn't have a big head in real life.
So come and hear us continue this Roald Dahl conversation, and plus so much more. So much more. We can't tell you how much more we're going to talk about
we'll
in PayFam tonight. But patreon.com/heyfam is where you want to go to hear our bonus episodes.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, because he looks like he looks like that.
He looks like fucking Venom, but like white Venom.
He looks like white Venom. Which would be a really cool username on Xbox Live.
Definitely. You know, if I was to open up Marvel Snap, my username would still be White Adam.
That's awesome. Mine's still Wahlburgers AU.
But hey, stop spending money on Marvel Snap and start spending money on the HeyFam Patreon.
When was the last time you fired up that dang app? I can't remember that. So it says September 2021, Netflix acquired the Roald Dahl Story
Company. Save this shit for PayFam, my brother. Because that's where people are going to go right now. Patreon.com/HeyFam. $5 a month is all it costs to get a bonus episode of HeyFam whenever we do one, which is pretty much
every single week. Which is like 98% of the time.
That's true. And definitely this week. And plus you'll get access to our Discord and you'll be the first to be able to order some HeyFam merchandise. We need to talk about that shit. Get that shit on sale.
Yeah. It's too hot today.
It's way too hot.
You take a shirt.
I'll definitely want to take a shirt.
Or two.
Two
designs.
For my DJ set at PAX this week.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Which one are you going to wear, Marky?
Definitely Mark.
Yeah.
Exclusively amazing. Mark.
Exclusively Mark.
Thanks so much for listening to this one, but thanks even more for listening to the next one. We'll see you soon.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.